Welcome to the show. Welcome to Your Thought Life podcast. I am your host, Michael Anderson. On this podcast, we help people overcome mindset challenges to fast track personal and professional success. If you haven't already, do subscribe and follow the podcast so you don't miss any of the episodes. For those of you who enjoy the podcast, thank you so much for going out afterward to leave us a rating and a review. And your support of the podcast is truly appreciated. Intimidation Explained and Conquered is our topic for today. This is something that an awful lot of people have to contend with in some way, shape, or form. And intimidation at its roots is deep-rooted human reaction, and it's incredibly complex. Psychology has quite a bit to say about this. Foundationally, it involves the elicitation of fear or a sense of inferiority, and this often influences the behavior and the decision-making process of those who are in the midst of this or in the throes of it. We want to try to deal with this today, that each of you listening can be in a place to assist those that you know that may be going through this. And as I share, this is a multifaceted psychological situation. I think what you're going to find today is that there's an awful lot of information we have available to us to contend with this. And we're going to unpack that for you today. Beyond its impacts, the impacts of intimidation, there's again this profound role of shaping individuals, their mental states. And this all plays into a societal dynamic as well. Social psychologist Albert Bandura's social learning theory suggests that people can learn through observation and imitation. In the context of intimidation, this applies that witnessing or experiencing intimidating behavior can influence individuals to adopt a similar tactic. In the same way, we say that when a child is little, they're not necessarily taught, but the vast majority of what they learn is through what they caught, that indirect reference. And what's sort of neat also playing into this whole idea is that Albert Einstein even remarked, the world is a dangerous place to live, not because of people who are evil, but because people who don't do anything about it. I most certainly resonate with that and the idea that intimidation can be used and is used as a tool for both good as well as ill. We most certainly and more frequently use it with ill rather than good. Bet you didn't know this, but intimidation can contribute to the development of learned helplessness. This is a psychological state where an individual believes that they have no control over their circumstances. They feel bound by this intimidation. And this specific psychological state is where an individual believes that this lack of control is the ultimate destination for the circumstances that they face. A sense of powerlessness perpetuates a cycle of intimidation, and you know the rest of his story, I think. Once you see this take place so many times, you experience the negative effects, there's subsequently some mental well-being that is infringed or is created in a negative way. Recognizing the psychological dimensions is crucial in our ability to devise strategies to break this cycle of intimidation and to promote a healthier well-being for ourselves. And there's four different vehicles or steps that we can utilize to break free of this. The first of which is heightening our self-awareness. When we have a greater degree of understanding of what's going on in us, what we're thinking about, what we're feeling, that gives us an edge. When you pay attention to your emotions, your feelings, your reactions, and all of the situations that you find yourself in. I always share that if you don't have this capability, it's one of those core self-development skill sets that you have to go and acquire. And the most easy way to do that is through the act of meditation, which means to know thyself. You not only gain an appreciation for what you're thinking about, how your emotions and your feelings perpetuate patterns and behaviors that play out in your life day to day, but you also, again, heighten your sense of awareness. You're going to, at some point, face some sort of trigger, whether it's discomfort, fear, or unease. And these are very central, by the way, to the intimidation narrative. If you're in a heightened sense and you have a more understanding of what's going on in you near real time, then you can make the appropriate adjustments that this doesn't impact you in the same way. If you find yourself feeling threatened or undermined, or you have this sort of excessive anxiety, these are good indications that there could be an intimidation component at play, especially if the opening arguments we shared with you from a science perspective, specifically psychological perspective, are at play. Number two is identifying manipulative tactics. I had in my life for a while being a service member, a specific sergeant who would always, rather than utilizing the power that was inherent to him being a sergeant, he would use these manipulation tactics because, well, we learned later that he was bullied as a kid. He wanted to get some recompense for all of the soldiers who reported to him on a day-to-day basis. Terrible set of circumstances to have to be in a situation like that where it's a military scenario and he has absolute authority from, you know, 5 in the morning until 5 in the evening. I mean, this is a real tough way to get acclimated to adult life. What I want you to know based on all of that commentary is that we have to be attentive to these behaviors when they are aggressive, when they're belittling, and when they attempt to undermine our confidence. In my case, he was clearly on the belittling side and the aggressive side. He was even a little bigger than most of us, right? So yeah, there was even some physical intimidation, if you will. But at the end of the day, manipulators also have a profile. They tend to use nonverbal cues like glaring looks or invading your private space and getting real close to you, employing a condescending tone to the things that they're saying. When you see these patterns over and over again in a specific set of people or a specific individual, take notice to that and know that this could be a tactic, a manipulative tactic that is being carried out against you or someone that you're advising. And it's by recognizing these tactics that we understand that intimidation actually is occurring, that we need to do something very constructive to get freed and released from this. Number three is I want you to observe the patterns of behavior. I want you to pay particular attention to consistent behaviors that make you feel uncomfortable, that make you feel awkward, that make you feel threatened. When you see an individual, or experience is better said, an individual who keeps making you feel this way, that should equate to a red flag of sort, one where you spring into action. I don't know, maybe it's a coworker who's consistently taking credit for your ideas. Maybe it's a friend that's consistently making demeaning comments, sharing with others things that you've told them in confidence. Or it could be as simple as a partner repeatedly employing manipulative behavior against you to get you to do what they want you to do. Any of these patterns, you should recognize, really begin to think through, what are my next steps? What do I need to do to unwind this intimidating behavior? How do I stop these from recurring? Number four is to trust your gut. Some might say, if you're a lady, trust your instincts or your intuition. If something feels off, don't sweep that under the rug. Oftentimes, that is your instincts sharing with you that this set of circumstances has a component to it that's not right, that isn't normal, and should warrant extra attention. Don't sweep that under the rug. Pay attention to those. In fact, in your life, you're going to have a multitude of these moments. When we learn to embrace these scenarios, this is the exact same time we cease to say to ourselves after the fact, I wish I had of followed my hunch. You know, something told me. Sometimes we, you know, set that to the side because we can't put our finger on exactly what that something is. That's your instincts. That's your intuition. Follow it. Use it. Because it's often able to detect subtle cues that may not be immediately apparent to our higher self. So if you find yourself questioning the motive or the intentions or the behavior of someone, but you can't put a finger on it per se, don't let that go. Go ahead and explore that a bit. Sort of dig into that and begin to ask yourself the questions, instinct, intuition. What are you trying to tell me? Go get quiet, and I guarantee you it will become abundantly clear when you take that step. We just shared with you some identifying signs. Let's quickly also give you a couple of things that you can do to rid yourself of this burden. And the first off is to cultivate a high degree of self-confidence. By building and maintaining self-confidence, you create a foundation for yourself that's not easily susceptible to intimidation. How do you do this? How do you raise your confidence? Great question. You recognize your strengths. You document them. You recognize your achievements. You document them. You make a list of all of your unique qualities. You put those in your journal. You begin to take very intentional steps to understand your composition. When you do this, you have now a ready reference that you can always look to help you identify with the actual person that you are. Because when you're placed in a set of circumstances that are unfavorable, that make you question your self-confidence, this ready reference is there for you to pick up, review, get your wits about yourself, and come to a quick and stern conclusion that this profile is not me. I'm confident. Here are all of the things that I am really good at. Here are all of the strengths that I have. Here are all of my accomplishments, or at least a portion of them. When you have that as the backdrop, it's much easier for you to bounce back. And your ability to bounce back also makes you far less susceptible to the tactics we just talked about that incite intimidation. I would want for you to focus on developing a positive self-image, as confidence serves as a shield against the attempts to undermine you. Building that up is just going to make you that much more robust and resilient. And finally, for this whole idea of cultivating self-confidence, I want you to engage in activities that boost your self-esteem, that showcase who you are, what you're able to contribute, and surround yourself with like-minded people who are uplifting and that will encourage you. This is one of two tactics you can immediately deploy to get rid of intimidation. Number two is establish and communicate your boundaries. First, you have to know where are your boundaries, which means you have to clearly define your personal and professional boundaries. These are going to play out in multiple dimensions. I've only selected two because those are the two most common. In each case, with your family, they need to know your boundaries. In your workplace, they need to know your boundaries. If you participate in other activities outside of the home where you're an authoritative figure or someone who is in demand, you need to set boundaries. All of these things will act to empower you to address situations far more effectively. This is the time for you to be assertive in expressing your needs, your expectations, and your limits to other people. I know a lot of people who used to be yes people. It almost drove them batty. If you are a yes person, you're going to be an individual would be far more susceptible to intimidation than a person who is not. I want you to be able to communicate assertively but respectfully to anyone who is crossing your line. They have to know, this is my boundary. You just crossed my boundary. I was feeling fantastic. You came along and now I don't feel so hot. Boundaries allow you to stand up for yourself, and communicating them allows you to enforce them. And I think both of these work hand in hand to both separate you from the effects of intimidation and also at the same time to protect your well-being. And by honing your ability to recognize intimidation through the steps that we've talked through today, you empower yourself to address the situations quickly and efficiently. So whether you're, you know, in a personal or professional setting or something outside of that, being vigilant and proactive in identifying intimidation allows for that the establishment of healthier boundaries and the promotion of a respectful interaction. There's no need for you to go through or for people you care about to go through, except that intimidation needs to persist because it does not. Remember that everyone deserves to be treated with respect. By actively promoting a culture of respect and open communication, you and we're able to contribute to a more positive and supportive environment within us. Thank you so much for tuning in, and that concludes this episode. I always appreciate your time and your attention, and I do want to remind you that you are enough, you can do it, and you are uniquely equipped to realize your goals. And until next time, take care and be safe.